KDW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. There will be a candlelight vigil tonight in Nashville to honor the six people killed in the Covenant School shooting. ABC's Jim Ryan is there.
People who had never heard of the Covenant School found themselves in the middle of its darkest moment. Actress Melissa Joan Hart lives in the area. She and her husband were driving past on Monday morning. They saw children running from the campus.
They were trying to escape the shooter situation at their school. So we helped all these tiny little kids cross the road, and we helped a mom reunite with her children.
It's Hart's second brush with a school shooting. She previously lived near Sandy Hook Elementary, where 26 people were killed in 2012. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Nashville.
Former Vice President Mike Pence ordered to testify about conversations he had with former President Trump leading up to the January 6th Capitol riot. The state of Minnesota is suing vape maker Juul, saying it deceptively targeted its products at kids. The head of Starbucks will testify today about union-busting claims some have made against the coffee chain. This is ABC News. New warnings about artificial intelligence and a plea to slow down. A letter from the nonprofit Future of Life Institute has been signed by more than 1,000 people, including AI experts and Tesla head Elon Musk. It warns that right now, no one can, quote, understand, predict, or reliably control advanced AI systems, and calls for a 6-month pause in development so better controls can be put in place. And a familiar sound at the top of the Billboard charts.
It's another chart milestone for Taylor Swift. For the first time in her nearly 17-year recording career, she's got 7 albums simultaneously in the top 40 of the Billboard 200 albums chart. Her most recent release, Midnight, sits at the number 3 spot, with the lowest ranked, 2020's Evermore, at number 31. No one's done that in the last 60 years, save for Whitney Houston, following her passing in 2012. Swift's Eras Tour kicked off earlier this month. Christopher Watson, ABC News.
Inez de la Quatera, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin-based interest groups are making their endorsements in the race for state Supreme Court.
The Dairy Business Association, a dairy lobby group, and NFIB Wisconsin PAC endorsed former Justice Daniel Kelly. The small business advocacy organization said Kelly will provide a predictable legal climate for small businesses. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Meanwhile, 300 Wisconsin doctors have signed a letter supporting Janet Protasiewicz. When it comes to fundraising, Protasiewicz has raised more than 5 times as much money as Kelly. She raised almost $12.5 million in the final campaign finance reporting period. Kelly raised a little more than $2 million at the same time. In sports, Wisconsin's basketball season is over after last night's loss in the NIT semifinals. Tonight, the Bucks are at Indiana. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote. Then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
Then at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you, Earl?
I'm doing fine. Listen, we've got a jam-packed three-hour show lined up for you this morning, and we've got a lot of work to do. Let's get busy. I want to welcome my first guest, attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch. She's a Texas immigration attorney. She's the owner, CEO of Lincoln Goldfinch Law, a co-host of Law Moms Out Loud, and so many other different entities that she's involved in. But I really think it's important that we have this conversation. We're going to be talking about the tragic event that occurred several days ago, where 39 migrants died in a horrific fire, where migrants, when they found out that they were going to wind up being returned to Ecuador, Guatemala, and many South American, Central and South American nations, Guatemala, Honduras, Venezuela, and El Salvador. And these people made this trek. 38 men apparently were killed as many of the migrants line their mattresses up against the jail cell, thinking that, I guess, once they set these things ablaze, they would be let out. But it's a horrific, horrific story, and at the root of all of it is a failed immigration policy in this nation for decades now that must be corrected. And with that backdrop, I want to welcome attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch to the airways. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I am. I'm happy to be here having this conversation with you. I think it's an important one, and the tragedy yesterday really highlights what's going on down there in the chaos at the southern border. And I'm glad to be talking about it and sharing the backdrop.
So let me ask you: you're an immigration attorney. You know that there clearly are a lot of people in this nation who think that what's going on at the border is the most important situation in this country, the most important topic, never mind other issues, that the fact that there are so many people flooding into the border trying to get into our nation, and that those people, I think sometimes, attorney Goldfinch, we don't think that those are people. We don't treat them in a manner. You say what to that?
You know, I've studied our history, our immigration history in the United States, and thinking about where we are today. We're definitely in a period of anti-immigrant sentiment, and people are being manipulated by politicians, conservative lawmakers, who know that fear is an excellent motivator for an electoral base. And so all they have to do is say the word, you know, human trafficking, drug trafficking, and connect that to migrants. And it gets people really worked up and freaked out. And so that is a period of time that we are in right now. But I think it's really enlightening to look at the arc of history. And we've had the same anti-immigrant sentiment go on over the years. But it used to be, when in the 1700s, when everybody, 90% of the immigrants to the United States at that point, I'm talking about people who chose to immigrate.
Yeah.
I'm excluding native populations.
European.
Enslaved. Exactly. They were 90% were white, Protestant, English-speaking immigrants. And so then it was, you know, it was Irish Catholics. And then in the 1800s, German, Italian, Jewish people, Chinese people. And what's interesting is that if you study the political cartoons and the rhetoric of those eras, it is exactly the same as what is being said today about migrants along the southern border. So it's really like it really opens your eyes when you see just how repeat all of this is. It's just a new marginalized population today.
You know, you've studied this, and many of us have not, but people don't understand that the reason that people are fleeing from Central and South America because of the political chicanery that has gone on and continues to go on. And people in this nation aren't aware that at the root of a lot of it is our government and interfering in the politics that go on there.
Yeah, for sure. If you look back in the last 40 years, our involvement and political stuff in South and Central America has really destabilized the region. So I've been doing immigration law for about 15 years now, and I've seen a rise in migrants from Central America, the Northern Triangle, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua. And a lot of what's happening, there's some political stuff going on for sure, but also what's happening is there has been a rise in gang violence
right.
in that region. And the most vulnerable people to gang violence in Central America are the children and adolescents. You know, young boys are expected to join gangs. There's conscription going on. Young girls are expected to just become, you know, the property of gang members. And if a family resists, then they might all be killed. And so what started happening was in the middle, you know, around probably 2009 to 2015, we started to see not really a rise necessarily in asylum seekers at the southern border, but a shift in the type of asylum seekers. So we went from mostly adult men coming to the border to women and children and families. And those populations obviously have very different needs. And that was sort of the start of all of this rhetoric about, you know, surging at the border, flooding at the border, et cetera, which I think is... it's inaccurate. It's certainly exaggerated. But there's so much we can talk about. I'm glad we have some time because really, I mean, when we look at this sort of, there's the discussion to have about why do we even offer asylum? Where did that come from? What's the principle of this nation behind all of that? But then secondarily, like from a bigger picture perspective, do we want and need more immigrants in the United States right now?
Yes,
but like, let's have that conversation, you know?
You know, you hear, I've heard, you know, conservative, you know, politricksters and commentators say, well, Democrats want those people to come here because they know they're going to vote Democrat. Well, that's not why the people are coming. The people aren't risking their lives to and taking the only clothes on their back and traveling through deserts because they want to come and vote Democrat. And yet there are people who actually believe that.
You know, some of the things that people are convinced of really boggle the mind, and I'm curious about it. You know, I mean, of course, if I'm honest, I'm judgmental about it too, but I'm curious how people can be convinced of these things. But, you know, from that, just that particular question, that are they coming here to vote? I mean, just from a practical perspective, an asylum seeker going through the process of asylum in the United States, that person is not going to be eligible to vote for probably 10 years plus if everything goes exactly right in their case. It is such a long pathway to citizenship through asylum that there's really, I'm certain that there is no motivation to gather more voters from the migrant populations. And I would also venture to say, I doubt that any Democratic politicians are saying we want more migrants. Nobody is saying that. But what we are saying is, look, the United States made a promise. First of all, we're a nation of refugees. But, you know, even setting that aside, the reason we started thinking about asylum, offering protection to refugees legally, was after World War II, when there was an international reckoning due to the failure of protecting Jewish refugees in the Holocaust, including in the United States. We were terrible. We turned away a ship of Jewish refugees, the USS St. Louis, I think it was, that had 900 people on it. We sent them back to Europe. At the end of World War II, there were international treaties. There was a discussion about what is the definition of a refugee. It's someone who's fleeing persecution based upon a protected ground, which is their race, their religion, their nationality, their political opinion, or their membership in a particular social group. So it's this really defined thing. And then we started building it into our laws and codifying it. And we've had that in place now for 70 years plus. And we've had the system of processing migrants and refugees. And it's a case-by-case determination. We never say everybody in Nicaragua qualifies for asylum, because that's just not how the law works. It's a very individualized determination. But all of that broke down during the Trump administration. It was ripped to shreds, totally destroyed. And now here we are 3 years later with chaos at the border because we haven't had a system in place for screening and processing asylum seekers. And I think all we need to do really is return to that system. Now, I'm not saying it won't be messy to get there because we have a three-year backlog essentially at this point. But like, we are the United States of America. We have committed to doing this. This is what we stand for. And we are definitely capable of this. If we can't figure this problem out, well, then we got bigger problems than that,
look,
you know?
Look, I am so glad to have you on the air, especially at a time such as this, where those people all died, and some tragic things about how they died and what happened. So we're going to go at it. Attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch, she's a Texas immigration attorney, owner, CEO of Lincoln Goldfinch Law, co-host Law Moms Out Loud, and others. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can join the conversation. We'll be right back.
As a prosecutor and a circuit court judge, Janet Protasiewicz has been a lifelong advocate for victims of crime. Listen to Clayton from Milwaukee tell his story about how Judge Janet helped him.
After I was robbed and my girlfriend was beat up, Janet Protasiewicz was the prosecutor that went after those criminals. Those fools were on a violent crime spree. Janet prosecuted them case after case and brought those criminals to justice. I saw her work up close. She's compassionate. She's fair. And she believes in public safety. On the Supreme Court, I know she'll fight for you because she fought for me. Janet cares about us.
The stakes couldn't be higher when it comes to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Public safety, abortion rights, voting rights. It's all on the line, and it will be a very close election. Make a plan to vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz by April 4th. For more information, visit janetforjustice.com.
Paid for by Janet for Justice.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear sky today, with highs around 31. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 14 tonight. Overcast skies tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. High at 43. Low 50s Friday with a chance for scattered storms. Turning much cooler Saturday with highs in the upper 30s and snow. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 24.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
KRadio.com.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch, and she's a Texas immigration attorney. You know, Ms. Goldfinch, it is when we, and it's so good to have you on the air, because the misconceptions and lies that are wrapped around the whole immigration issue and bigotry and all of those things. You mentioned earlier that our nation needs these immigrants. There's no question whatsoever. You constantly hear people talking about the fact that all these companies, there aren't enough people to work the jobs. People are lazy. They don't want to work the jobs. The kinds of jobs that are needed to be worked in the service industry, which is heavily laden with where most of the jobs are now, don't pay a lot of money, and there aren't a whole lot of Americans lined up to do those jobs. Why is it that you constantly hear people, well, they're bringing fentanyl into the country? The gang, I forgot the name of the gang that they were saying was going to come here and do all kind of damage. You know, to say that these people are coming here to commit crimes is definitely untrue. We've got enough, you know, born and bred Americans that commit enough crimes ourselves than to laden people who are coming here to do what many of these people are coming here to do. Find a better life and a better opportunity, and they'll take anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, talking about this, there's lots of different ways to approach it. There's data, there's statistics that definitely show that immigrants and migrants commit crime at a much, much lower rate than natural-born citizens, and that, you know, 95% of migrants who are placed into the asylum system and have court hearings to attend, that they show up for their hearings. They don't abscond. So there's data about that, and then I can share with you my anecdotal experience as an immigration lawyer in Texas. I've been working with migrants now for 15 years. It's a focus of my practice. So I've worked with thousands of migrants from around the globe, most of them asylum seekers. And what I can tell you from my personal experience is that these are people, number one, certainly are not criminals themselves. They're fleeing criminal organizations. They're fleeing danger and violence because really the drug traffickers, the cartels, et cetera, those guys, I'm going to say guys, they're doing just fine where they are. They're right. Not looking to immigrate to the United States. So the migrants are the ones who are fleeing violence, and they're telling the truth. And the other thing is that I think we need to keep in mind, these are people, just put yourself in their shoes. Imagine you're in your home country, you're being targeted, you're feeling in danger, and you have to figure out a way to, I don't know, get rid of your house, get rid of your things, escape with your family and your children, make your way through several countries all the way to the U.S. border while keeping everybody safe. I mean, the amount of bravery that it takes to go through this journey to me is just overwhelmingly impressive. And that's been my experience as I meet these people over and over again. These are the kinds of people that we want here. They're incredible. They're impressive. They are resourceful and they are brave. And that's the thing that we need to keep in mind. But of course, what you ask, you know, why do we keep having this rhetoric? It's what I mentioned in the beginning. I don't really understand it, but I think that human beings are tribal.
Yes.
And I think that when Republican conservative politicians are fear-mongering and they're talking about, they're using rhetoric about immigrants as criminals and surging and drugs and they're the ones bringing fentanyl, et cetera, that really gets their base motivated. But what I just really, really hope, I mean, and this is like a mission of my life, is that all of us sort of take a step back and look at this country, this amazing country that we're in, and we get honest with ourselves. I mean, whether or not you're motivated by helping migrants, okay, that may not speak to certain people, but we are an aging nation. Our baby
yes.
boomers are aging. For the first time next year, we're going to have more people over the age of 65 than under the age of 15 in our nation's history. And we are headed for trouble, big time, in the United States because of our aging population.
So Miss Lincoln Goldfinch, if you'll hang on, we'll mm-hmm. come back to that point after the break because you're just so on point. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. There will be a candlelight vigil tonight in Nashville to honor the six people killed in the Covenant School shooting. ABC's Jim Ryan is there.
People who had never heard of the Covenant School found themselves in the middle of its darkest moment. Actress Melissa Joan Hart lives in the area. She and her husband were driving past on Monday morning. They saw children running from the campus.
They were trying to escape the shooter situation at their school. So we helped all these tiny little kids cross the road, and we helped a mom reunite with her children.
It's Hart's second brush with a school shooting. She previously lived near Sandy Hook Elementary, where 26 people were killed in 2012. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Nashville.
Former Vice President Mike Pence ordered to testify about conversations he had with former President Trump leading up to the January 6th Capitol riot. The state of Minnesota is suing vape maker Juul, saying it deceptively targeted its products.
Looking
at
for more local programming?
Head of Starbucks will
check
testify
out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Coffee chain. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin-based interest groups are making their endorsements in the race for state Supreme Court.
The Dairy Business Association, a dairy lobby group, and NFIB Wisconsin PAC endorsed former Justice Daniel Kelly. The small business advocacy organization said Kelly will provide a predictable legal climate for small businesses. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Meanwhile, 300 Wisconsin doctors have signed a letter supporting Janet Protasiewicz. When it comes to fundraising, Protasiewicz has raised more than five times as much money as Kelly. She raised almost $12.5 million in the final campaign finance reporting period. Kelly raised a little more than $2 million at the same time. In sports, Wisconsin's basketball season is over after last night's loss in the NIT semifinals. Tonight, the Bucks are at Indiana. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're just joining us, my guest is attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch. She's a Texas immigration attorney. And you know, Miss Lincoln Goldfinch, before we went to break, you were laying out what I think is absolutely 100% on point with why it's important that these immigrants are, and many of these immigrants are accepted to come into this nation. This nation is not going to be able to stand as it has been throughout all of these centuries without the support of immigrants. And, you know, there's zero population growth for Europeans and for white Americans. For everyone that's born that dies, there isn't a new one born. You know, you're listening to Donald Trump offering money for white Americans to have babies, because he knows what the demographers know, that, you know, it's inevitable that the numbers of whites in this nation are eventually going to dwindle to the point that it's going to become a nation of people of color. And so when you know that fact and that truth, then why is it? And I do understand why the people push back. They think that that's going to hasten the fact that they're eventually going to be more minorities in the nation than whites. But that doesn't make any sense from the standpoint, I'm a baby boomer. I know what you just said. 8,000 to 10,000 baby boomers become 65 years old almost every day. And so who's going to, how is a nation going to be able to continue without having the foresight to realize what it is you said?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, we're seeing some nations in Asia a few, you know, years ahead of us with this problem. So it's going to be interesting to watch how this aging population issue, you know, impacts China, for example. But over here in the U.S., we have this switch. We can flip. We happen to have a lot of immigrants who would come here at the drop of a hat. And what we, you're so right, this aging population, it's very problematic. We're just starting to feel the pain of it. It's going to impact Social Security. It's going to impact our ability to care for the elderly. And it's coming. It is coming. It is coming. And we see, you know, right now what we're experiencing is difficulty finding workers in certain industries.
Right.
And so you see states trying to, you know, like Iowa, for example, is, you know, passing child labor laws that,
yes,
allow, you know, like factories, processing facilities to put, you know, young teens in their factories, and it, these laws would indemnify the companies against, you know, injuries that these kids suffer. I mean, it's just absurd when you think about the fact that all we would need to do is fix our immigration laws, turn up immigration, and we could solve this problem in an instant. And I think you got to something there, Earl, that you know, the reason this hasn't been done is a fear of what that could do to our demographics, which is just, we've seen that just over and over. There's this quote from Benjamin Franklin from the 1770s, where he's talking about the German, this like German settlement, you know, near where he was. And he was like, how can we be suffered to let them, you know, swarm into our population with their, what was the word that he used? It was something to do with the color of their skin. It starts with a C. I'm blanking on the word, but it's just,
no, it's okay.
You know, this is just over and over through the years, we see this same fear. And the deal is, this is just humanity. This is what is happening. And if we want our nation to continue to thrive, we need to be honest with ourselves about the need for immigration and on all levels of skill. We need high-skilled immigrants. We need mid-level skill. We need low-skill immigrants. And the solution to this, of course, is that Congress passes immigration reform that reflects the needs of our economy, which they haven't done, you know, any major immigration reform in over 40 years, and it got even more difficult post 9/11. So the way that immigration policy is passed now is just insane. You know, the president's passed executive actions, and then they get sued, and then the courts, you know, decide it. That's how immigration policy is.
And you know, Attorney Lincoln Goldfin, Finch, it is frustrating, because what the American people need is to be educated on what is really taking place. And the outcome of the policies that we're dealing with now and the impact that that's going to have on their children and their grandchildren. And so those of us who are here right now, especially the baby boomers, we're not going to, in the remainder of our lives, America's going to be able to hold out the baby boomers. But after that, there is certainly uncertainty about what the nation is going to do. So we've got to begin by having discussions and conversations like what you and I are having now, truthful conversations, and not people from the other side who are feeding people a bunch of hogwash in order to stay in political power.
Yeah, I mean, and I've had, you know, some version of this conversation with a lot of conservative people. You know, I speak about immigration a lot, and I get to a point of agreement with them generally on this, you know, that they will agree, yes, we need more immigrants. And then they go down this, you know, sort of like spewing of rhetoric path where they say, but legal, you know, legal immigrants, the ones who do it the right way. And that's when we can sort of start getting into the details of immigration. Asylum is a legal way for people to immigrate, you know, and so someone coming to the border and asking for protection is not breaking the law. And the truth of the matter is the two main ways that people immigrate to the United States are through family or through employment. Family is, you know, if you have an immediate relative, like a brother, spouse, a kid or a parent, to petition for you, or an employer who's willing to petition for you, which is very restrictive, and the slots are super limited, nowhere near the levels that we need. The wait list for many of those categories is like decades, you know, 20 years plus. And our immigration system now looks nothing like it used to, you know, 50, 70 years ago. So I often have people say, well, you know, my grandfather did it this way, or my parents did it this way, and why can't people just do it like that? And it's like, because the system is completely broken. There is nowhere near the levels of visas available to the people that would come here, number one, and the people that we need to come here, number two.
You know, the other part of this is many immigrants are skilled laborers. They are tradespeople, and really great at what they do. The other part of this is, and I'm like you, only mine is understandable. I'm an old guy, and so I can forget at times. But you know what is the name of the children that were born here? Their parents. We haven't been able to get their. What do they call them?
Yeah, you're talking about the Dreamers.
The Dreamers.
DACA program.
Yeah, yeah.
That's for kids who were brought here by the
Yeah, but parents. We still haven't been able to get that worked out.
That's right. That's right. And exactly. You are exactly right, because if we can't even come together for these kids, I mean, this program has been in place now for 11 years. And these are people, young people who graduated from high school in the United States, you know, fully, they feel very American. Of
course. Right.
They also,
it's the only nation they know.
But like, yeah. And I mean, when you know these young people, they, you know, they go to college, they've become nurses, and, you know, they've bought houses and they have families, and they're amazing. The Dreamers are absolutely amazing, and no one really disputes that. That's the thing. I mean, even the conservatives don't have anything negative to say about the Dreamers, and yet they do nothing to advance legislation on behalf of the Dreamers, because they can't do anything pro-immigration without a ton of blowback from their base, which goes back to this fear of immigrants, which goes back to the demography that you were talking about. I mean, I think that's the root, the heart of all of this is people's tribalism and their fear of difference, of xenophobia. And to get to that, to start to move that, That's what I don't know the answer is. I don't know the answer to how we start to move that needle.
Let's do this. Let's go to Mark from Sherwood. Hey, Mark, thank you very much for the call. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Hi, Earl. I have a comment. To your point about tradespeople, immigrant tradespeople, I started a business about 10 years ago doing external home maintenance and landscaping. And in that time, I have noticed that the vast majority of people out there working in the trades, whether it's painters, roofers, landscapers, tree companies, on and on, are predominantly Mexican and Central Americans, and they are the hardest workers, and I'm an older guy. They're the hardest workers I've seen. I'm always impressed. People have no idea what it's like to stand on a roof in the heat of summer. I've seen amazing things, and white people don't even want these jobs anymore. And it's really sad, but we have to welcome them, and we need them.
You know, Mark, I often say, if you're an American, you don't want to work next to an immigrant who's come here from those areas that we're talking about. Because they look, man, they don't take breaks for the most part, long breaks. I've seen roofers where they'll do two or three roofs in a day, as opposed to American roofers who will do one for the entire day. And I think part of this too, Mark, is that there are people who think that they are taking the jobs that white men used to do. And that's true. The landscaping jobs, the roofing, what do you call it when you put the things up in the rooms in your houses?
Drywallers?
Yeah. All of those things. They've come in and they are highly skilled. And you know what else? They are cheaper.
Yeah. If people doubt this, all
drywall. Drywall is what I was thinking about. But go ahead.
Drywall. Yeah. All they have to do is just drive around for an afternoon. It's just amazing. And then, you know, the Journal Sentinel recently did an article on the dairy farmers, how that's all immigrant labor. I don't know how people can fight this. It's so apparent. So that's all I wanted to say.
Hey, Mark, thank you very much for the call. You're right on point. Attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch. Wow, you know you got a lot of stuff going on. We'll be right back.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Here's a fun treat for your Easter celebration, cherry elk sausage and port wine cheese spread.
You can order them at civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear sky today, with highs around 31. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 14 tonight. Overcast skies tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. High at 43. Low 50s Friday with a chance for scattered storms. Turning much cooler Saturday with highs in the upper 30s and snow. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 24.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
Aradio.com.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch, and she's a Texas immigration attorney. You know, attorney Goldfinch, if people really understood, there's this belief that these people are coming here with their hands out, and they want to, and they want welfare, and they want to, and we've got to pay for them to get medical insurance and all of that, and all of that's going to be free, and we Americans don't get any of those things. And this is what they hear. This is what the people believe. And I don't think any of those people are coming here because they want a free handout.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a common misunderstanding. First of all, immigrants don't qualify for public benefits like, you know, welfare and Section 8 housing until they actually have a green card or citizenship. So they've got to be permanent, you know, have permanent status in the U.S. before they even could get anything like that. And again, I'll go back to the data and the statistics. All of the economic studies show that immigrants are a net economic benefit. I should say most of the studies show that. So immigrants start companies, they create more jobs, actually. That one is very clear, hands down. Immigrants create more jobs in the U.S. versus taking jobs. And then in terms of the sort of the economic impact of immigrants, they pay a lot of taxes, actually.
Yes.
They pay, you know,
yes,
property taxes, even if they're renting. They pay sales taxes. Many of them pay into Social Security, even if they don't, you know, have a Social Security number themselves. I mean, so immigrants are not, this is a total misconception, hands down. Immigrants are not taking and coming for a handout. They are adding to our economy, and we need them. And that is just clear.
Let's do this. Tom from L.A. Tom, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, Earl, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Number two, I live in California, and what I see, and I see it now more and more in Wisconsin, is that, you know, first they want to use the slave labor. They want to use the low price, but then when the in our case, a lot of Latinos want to start running their own business, want to start, you know, moving up, then all of a sudden the same people that were so upset or were so happy with them coming in for the slave labor, I get upset because now all of a sudden they're competing, and then they say, "Oh, they need to be sent back." It's hilarious to me in terms of the double standard that goes on there. And also, I want to say that when it comes to the immigration policies, what ends up usually happening is a lot of these people came, and this is something that's missing, but a lot of these people came from dictatorships, and they came from very authoritarian governments. So when you have Republicans that are telling these people right off the bat when they get here that the Democrats are the ones that are taking over our you know, government, tyrannical government, and all of this kind of stuff, unfortunately, there are a lot of immigrants that will start believing that. And they start believing that, and they start actually voting the opposite way because of the fact that they think that it's like the country that they came from. And I think that's a missing spot that's there. And we do not have an illegal immigration problem in this country. We have an illegal employment problem in this country. That is the bottom line. If you don't want immigrants here, then you know what? Then start going after the people that are hiring rather than anything else.
Hey, Tom, I wish I had more time, man. Thank you very much for the call. Hey, Attorney Lincoln Goldfinch, how right was he?
Yeah, I mean, he was certainly right on in this idea of illegal employment. And I say this all the time. We have this fallacy going here in the U.S. where we have all these jobs. We have all of this opportunity for immigrants, and we need them. And it's almost like this wink, wink, you know, come on over, but the laws don't support it. And so people want and need immigrants. There are jobs for them. And then in the same breath, we'll, you know, say anti-immigrant stuff. So once again, let's get back to the truth. Let's talk honestly with each other. This nation needs more immigrants, and we need to pass laws that will expand the immigration population in the United States, and that benefits everybody.
All right, Dave from Mequon, quickly.
Good morning. I was just in Phoenix last week. I was out there for spring training.
Okay, quickly.
And I can tell you firsthand that what I saw in Arizona was unbelievable, the amount of homeless people. It's out of control. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I disagree with your guess from the standpoint that California has been encouraging, you know, they allow people to take positions now.
So you disagree with her from what perspective, Dave? You disagree with her on what?
The fact that that undermines the people in the U.S. that are looking for jobs. You have high black unemployment, so they're competing against people that are illegal. Yes, they are.
I know, but Dave.
And the fact is, they are overwhelming the hospitals.
So Dave, we've been on this discussion for an hour. We're up against the break. I wish you would have called earlier. I'm going to give my guest the last minute to respond to you, and we're going to bring her back. So 844-967-2789. You got the last word, attorney.
Awesome. Right now?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I hear you. There are all sorts of other problems. Homeless populations agree. There are Americans who need help and who need work. But it is a fallacy to connect immigration to those problems. We also need immigrant labor. We've done this before. When we completed the railroads in the 1800s or the late 1700s, we brought over Chinese immigrant labor to complete the railroads. And then right after that, immediately turned around and said, Chinese laborers are taking all the jobs. It wasn't true then. It's not true now. These are things that we are being told, and we're seeing other problems that need fixing. That does not mean that we don't also need immigrants.
So, Attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch, thank you. And I will be bringing you back again and again and again because you're just what's needed. I'll be in touch after the show. Thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Next up, Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance. We'll be right back.
Hi. Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude. Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
Over
on
if you are 45 and older, don't let but stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.